church Sunday after Sunday. I believe that God is bringing us closer and closer to Him. People are going higher. You know, people who maybe were just coming to church before, and now you see that they're doing things in church. A few weeks ago, we started announcing that we were looking for Flow Flashback stars. And by God's grace, Annette today, decided and announced that, she could help us out in that area. So it's a blessing. And you see, anybody who maybe wants to be a part of a ministry or be a part of something in church should definitely reach out to me. And I also want to encourage us, I see that not many people, we're missing some people today in church. I would text or reach out to anybody who you normally have seen over the past couple of weeks that maybe isn't here. So some people like maybe Rose or even Rachel, some people like that, if they are available, let's invite them to service. Or maybe they're doing something, but let's invite them to service if we can and see if they can make it. Amen. So let's just have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, this opportunity to meet. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with us, Lord, that you'll continue to keep us. You'll continue to protect us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we are coming to service again and again, Lord, open a door for us for service. Open a door for us for increase, God. May we just not be at the same level Sunday after Sunday, week after week. But God, help us to grow. Help us to be increased. Help us not to stay at the same place, God. 2 Sundays from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now, may we see that these seeds of preaching, these seeds of these words are showing up in our lives, God. May this time in church just not be in vain. God, as we are hearing your word, may we also become doers. As we are studying on the determinants, God, help us, oh God, to not forget this message in 3 months. In 3 months, God, may we remember what we've learned in church. May we remember the things we've learned, the things we've talked about, the things we've studied, God. May we not forget the topics, God. I give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So yeah, it's a blessing to see all of you guys. Happy to see everyone. So over the past several weeks, we have been studying on the topic called the determinants. For anyone who's new in service, the determinants are coming from Ephesians 9 verse 11. So if you have your Bible, if you come to church, you should come to church with your Bible. We may not always have the verses projected on the screen. So if you come to church, you should come to church and bring your Bible. Ecclesiastics 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastics 9 and verse 11. The Bible says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor does food to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happened to them all. And you see, the first part of this series on the determinants, we talked about speed and how speed can be a determinant for your life, right? And we talked about, I gave some of the different things that, speed determines. And if anybody wants to re-listen to that message, I would encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. You can go on the Apple Podcast app, or you can also go on Spotify and subscribe under FLC Delaware. And I believe you'll be blessed. But yeah, so we talked about speed. Different things in your life speed determines, and also gave us some ways to improve your speed. Yeah, I gave us some ways on how you can practically improve your speed. And then last week, we talked about strength. You see, all these messages are on our podcast, so I may not have time to go too in-depth right now, but if you would like to re-listen, and I encourage you to re-listen, because you see, everything I'm saying right now, you may only get 60% of it, or 40%, but what's going to make the message stick in your heart, or what's going to make the message go down in your heart, is the listening again and again. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So as you are hearing the messages again and again, as you play the message again and again, you see that what I'm trying to get across in the message will actually enter your heart. Amen. So last week, we talked about strength. And I gave us some steps on, how to increase your strength, right? And the real point of last week's message was talking about how to overcome the world. Yeah, I was really encouraged. I was really trying to get us to understand how we can practically overcome the world, how we as Christians, people who call ourselves Christians, living on this earth, and we are supposed to be set apart. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation, right? We are supposed to be set apart from the world. how to practically overcome the things of the world. Because many Christians are lost in the world. Many Christians are, and when I say lost in the world, don't just think of, oh, they're going out, they're drinking. No, lost in the world as in they don't focus on Christ. Like the world and the busyness of the world has consumed them so much, they don't have time in the morning to do a quiet time. They don't have time to read their Bible. They don't have time. It's because of the busyness of life. You wake up, you have to go to work, you have school, you have this, you come back. It's like the busyness of life has consumed you so much so to the point that you don't have any time for God. Maybe just on Sunday for 2 hours. As you're hearing my voice right now, I'll be done preaching in the next 40 minutes. That's it. So if you are just relying on these next 40 minutes as your relationship and foundation with God, you will realize that you're not really a Christian. Yeah, you can't, anything you love, anything you tie yourself to, anything that you have attached yourself to, you don't just spend 40 minutes a week on. If you've tied yourself to school and you say that you're going to college, you cannot just spend 40 minutes a week on. It's impossible. It's actually impossible. At the bare minimum, you have to spend, 9 credit hours a week. So at least if you are part-time, you are spending, 9 credit hours a week. At least 9 hours a week. And then that's with school, if you've attached yourself to that. If you're working in your full time, minimum, you've attached yourself to 40 hours. So why when it comes to God, it's like we have to try to make God fit in where he can fit in. No, you should actually be intentional about setting aside time for him. And that is one of the ways to overcome the world. Amen. But today, the title of today's message and what we're discussing today is the third determinant, right? The third determinant. So I'm preaching from actually one of our prophet's books, Bishop Dag here at Mills. The book is entitled The Determinants. So the first chapter, the first determinant is speed, right? The first thing that determines the course of many of our lives is speed. And then the second thing that will determine the course of many of our lives is strength. Yeah, your strength will determine your life or your ability to overcome the world. Your ability to use your strength to overcome the world will really determine the course of your life. And then number three is wisdom. Yeah, the third determinant or the one we're discussing today is on wisdom, right? So today's message is on wisdom, how to increase your wisdom. Amen. So what is wisdom, right? What exactly is wisdom? I know it's something we hear often. We hear the word wisdom. We hear people say things like, oh, this person is wise. And many times when we think of wisdom or we hear someone say that they're wise, it's like we're attaching wisdom to maybe the older person. Yeah, like somebody who's experienced some things and they're telling you what to do and what not to do. But wisdom, it doesn't necessarily come with age. Yeah, the wisdom is defined as your ability to apply the knowledge you have. Yeah. The knowledge that you have. See, many people have certain knowledge. Many people have certain understandings about being a Christian or about life. They have the knowledge, but to apply it, the way at which you apply it shows a difference. Yeah, like in our church, for example, one of the foundational teachings in our church is to avoid debt. Something that we teach and we preach in our church is you should avoid debt. You should try and avoid having a lot of student loans, car loans. Like you should try and avoid debt. Everyone has that knowledge. But you see, it's not everyone in the church who is debt-free because everybody's applying it differently. Some people are applying it to the point that they refuse to even get a home mortgage. Other people are applying it to the point that it's like, oh, that teaching about debt is something that only exists in Africa. But in the Western world or in America, it's like, it's not real. You have to. Bishop Dag doesn't understand the system here in America. No, it's not the case. Yeah. Some people in America in the church are believing that wisdom and they are running with it. And the way you apply it shows the difference in you. All of us, we are Christians. We call ourselves born again Christians. We have the knowledge that prayer is very important for our relationship with God. But how many of us pray more than 1 hour a day? How many of us pray more than 1 hour a day? But we all have the knowledge that prayer is very important. If you are going to be a strong Christian, we all know that prayer is important. You can't say you are a strong Christian and you don't speak to God. But how many of us are applying that knowledge? And see, that's the difference in people's wisdom. As we are all sitting here and as we are all going through life together, everyone's wisdom is showing. Yeah, everyone has a different level of wisdom. And all of our wisdom is showing at different times. You see, some people had a wisdom to do some things early in their life. some people had a certain wisdom early in their life. They were going to do other things. They were going to focus on other things. Yeah, maybe right or wrong, but they made a decision to focus on other things. And it has shown their wisdom. It has shown their wisdom. And we'll get into that today. So, you know, what are some things that wisdom determines? If you're taking notes, you can title it, "What Are Some Things That Wisdom Determines?" Genesis 41 and verse 38, please. Genesis 41 and verse 38. Genesis 41 and verse 38. The Bible says, "So Pharaoh asked them, 'Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?'" Next verse. "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph," so if you know this story, Joseph had been moved to Egypt and he was in prison, and Pharaoh had some dreams and Joseph had to interpret the dreams. And the Bible says in verse 39, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you.'" So we go back to verse 38. You are seeing that the Spirit of God being in you is what makes you wise. Yeah, the Spirit of God being in you is what makes you wise. Joseph had the Spirit of God in him. That's why he was so wise. And the next verse, I think it's verse 40. Yeah. "You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And verse 41. "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.'" Wow. So the first thing that wisdom determines in our lives is wisdom determines your position. Yeah, your position. Like your wisdom determines the position that you have in this life. You see, if God has blessed you with the position of maybe being a mother, for example, and you don't have a certain type of wisdom, you'll very quickly lose that position. Yeah, very quickly you'll lose it. If God has blessed you with a position to be a college student, for another example, a college student, it's actually a position that someone blesses you with, you see, because you have to apply and get into a place. Yeah, somebody for you to become a college student, somebody has blessed you with it. Yeah, for you to get that position and maintain it, which gets into the next point, but for you to get that position is based upon your wisdom. It's based upon how you apply the knowledge that you have. It's based upon how you apply the things that you hear. Joseph here in the Bible had the Spirit of God in him. And see, that's why it's very important to pray for the Spirit of God. Yeah, it's very important to speak with God and ask him. When you are going to pray for wisdom, also pray for the Spirit of God. Yeah, when you are going to pray for wisdom, also pray for the Spirit of God. Because according to Pharaoh here in the Bible, he says that in verse 38, if we could go back to verse 38. It says that, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Yeah, anyone like him. Like, it's rare to find people who have the Spirit of God. It's rare to find people who are wise. It's rare to find people who can discern. The next verse, I believe, Pharaoh says that one who is wise and discerning like this one. It's like, it's rare to find, yeah, "since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise like you." Many people talk about this spirit of discernment. It's something that we hear a lot, spirit of discernment, spirit of discernment. And you see, the spirit of discernment is very important. But what you are actually praying for, or what you are actually saying you have, when someone says they have the spirit of discernment, is they actually have the Spirit of God. Yeah, the spirit of discernment is the Spirit of God. That's actually what you have. It means that you are able to know exactly what you are in. You have a certain type of wisdom to discern a situation. It means you actually have the Spirit of God with you. So if anybody wants to be somebody who can discern a good situation from a bad situation, pray for the Spirit of God. Amen. The next thing that wisdom determines in your life is your ability to stay in an elevated position. Yeah, your ability to stay in an elevated position. It's like now that maybe you've been made a high position in something. Oh, right, yeah. You see, some of us right now, we're going through every week on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. We have a weekly center meeting and different people have been leading it. And you see, in our church right now, we are going through a season where we want everybody to have an opportunity to become a shepherd. Everybody should have an opportunity to become a shepherd, you see? And that's why today we're having shepherds meeting after church today. And everyone is invited because we want everyone to become a shepherd, or a wasenta leader. A wasenta is basically a group someone who is in charge of 4 to 5 people, right? So because you are going through that season, it has made a lot of people high. A lot of people who were not preaching, who during the week were not teaching, during the week didn't organize people to come to a Bible study, nothing like that. Now you have been put into a position where now you are leading a group of people every week at 8 o'clock if you are joining First Step Philly on Wednesdays. Yeah, you have been put into a high position and your wisdom determines your ability to stay in that high position. Yeah, there's someone in the Bible called King Rehoboam. And he was someone who's actually Solomon's daughter. So if you know this, you know who King Solomon is. King Solomon was called a very wise man. And he had a son named King Rehoboam. And this King Rehoboam, if we turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 42 and 43, 1 Kings chapter 11, 42 and 43. Yeah, so Solomon reigned in Jerusalem all over Israel 40 years. Then he rested with his ancestors, so he passed away, and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, succeeded him as king. Yeah, so Solomon had passed away. And now his son, this king, Rehoboam, was now made the king. He was now in an elevated position. He was now put in charge of an entire city called Jerusalem. It's a big responsibility. And see, when you become a shepherd in church, it's actually a big responsibility. Yeah, when you become responsible for bringing people to church, organizing the church service, helping to plan events, it's a major responsibility. And it's not something that, you know, something that you should take lightly. Yeah, it's not something that you should take lightly. You should take it as very, don't think because you're not preaching on Sunday that you don't have a high position in church. Yeah, everybody here has a high position in church because you are helping the church to run effectively and efficiently. I feel like everybody's being quiet today. I'm hoping everyone is okay. But chapter 12, so the next verse, 12 and verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4, it says, your father put a heavy yoke on us. Verse 4, please. Yes. Your father put it. So now King Rehoboam was in charge of Jerusalem. He was in charge of an entire city of Jerusalem, you see. And the people of Jerusalem had come to him with a problem. They've come to him with a problem. And this is his answer to the problem. So the problem was that his father, Solomon, put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Verse 5. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days, then come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father, Solomon, during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people, he asked. Next verse. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. Okay, next verse. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders that the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. Mercy. So you see, Rehoboam was someone who was put into a high position. He was given charge over an entire city called Jerusalem. And when an opportunity now came, you see, to go and get advice by older people, he rejected the advice of the older people. And how many of us sometimes do this? It's like when the older people come and they come and try and give us advice, we reject their advice. We don't listen to them. And it may not even be our parents. King Rehoboam, his father had died. His mother was nowhere to be found. It says he was advised with the elders who had worked with his father, people who were around his father's age. He rejected their advice and listened to his wisdom. His wisdom was to go and consult with the young men who had grown up with him. But you see, the likelihood that somebody who's grown up with you has the wisdom of somebody who is called an elder is far-fetched. Yeah, the likelihood is these young men also have the same level of wisdom you have. Yeah, and if you read this story, the young men advised him to actually, I can't read the whole story because of time right now, but the young men advised him to actually go and become harsher than his father to the people. Like they actually advised him he should become more of a strict king than his father was. That was their wisdom. The wisdom of the elders was if you serve them, they will serve you forever. The wisdom of the young men was become more harsh. Yeah, which one makes sense? But you see, when you are when you lack a certain wisdom, you're not able. And later on, if you read this story, King Rehoboam actually no longer was king. Like, they overthrew him as king because that decision he took to listen to these younger men divided the city of Jerusalem, divided the country. Yeah. So you see, I want to encourage us from this point alone, when you are put into a higher position, right? When you are put into a more elevated position, I want to encourage us to listen and seek the counsel of people who've been there before. Yeah, listen and seek the counsel of people who have been there before. Go and find somebody. If you are a college student now and you know somebody who maybe went to your school or did the major you are doing at another school, go and find the counsel of someone who's done it before. If you are working, at a new job and you see somebody who had the role before you, or maybe who's been in the role for some time, like they've been doing this thing for a while, go and seek their advice on how to stay there, how to stay successful. Many people lose their jobs because of their inability to listen to counsel. Yeah, to listen to counsel, to listen to people who've been there for some time. It's like you can't listen to them. But see, there's some wisdom in it. There's always wisdom in people who are further ahead than you. And I want to encourage us today to go and seek that wisdom, right? Even if we're all here, we're all Christians, and you feel like maybe you're a baby Christian, or you feel like you're maybe a developing Christian, and there's somebody here who maybe has been a Christian for some time. Maybe you see them in a higher position, or you see that they've been a shepherd for some time and you just became a shepherd. You should be seeking their counsel. You should be asking them a lot of questions. Yeah, you should be asking them a lot of questions if they've been a Christian for some time. Amen. So your wisdom determines your ability to stay in an elevated position. I pray that we can all stay in elevated positions. Yeah, when God blesses us with a new opportunity, you know, I think 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to recognize a door. You know, I pray that as we are recognizing and stepping through doors, I pray that we will be able to stay in the opportunity. Yeah, that we'll be able to stay in what God has given us. Amen. Wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Yeah, wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19. Daniel 1. Yes, it says the king talked with them. So the king had talked with Daniel and some of his friends, right? The Bible says that the king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel. Wow. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service. And verse 20. In every matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better. Yeah, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And he gave them an elevated position because of this. Yeah, this is actually a very good verse to pray for, to pray with, or to tell God about whenever you are praying for. And if you're taking notes, you know, this is something you should, everyone should write down. But whenever you're praying for maybe a new opportunity, so you're praying to get into a school, you're praying for a new job, you're praying to just whenever you're praying for a new chance or a new opportunity, pray with Daniel 1 verse 20, because in the verse it says that they were found 10 times better. It was like they had to compete with some people, and the person who was in a position to choose found these guys to be 10 times better, found Daniel to be 10 times better. Yeah, and found him to be 10 times better in what? In all matters of wisdom and understanding. You see, pray that whenever you step into a new school semester, you'll be found 10 times better in all matters of wisdom and understanding. Pray that whenever you enter a new phase of your life, you see, pray that whenever you enter into a new season, a new phase of your life, you'll be found 10 times better. Yeah, than other people. Pray that whenever God gives you a chance, you see, not for most of us right now, God is giving us a chance. God is giving us a chance to be shepherds. God is giving me a chance to have a church. He's giving us all a chance. Pray. One of the prayers I used to pray a lot with was this verse. I used to pray a lot with this verse and ask God for wisdom. Yeah, pray and I'll pray and ask God for wisdom and what I had no idea what I was doing. You see, I had no idea what I was doing or what I was getting into, really. So you pray for wisdom. Yeah, you pray a lot for wisdom and understanding. You see, it says that he found them 10 times better. So pray that you'll be found better. Yeah, pray for favor. favor means that somebody chooses you over someone else. Like they have two options, and favor, and someone chooses you over the other person. They have a choice to make, but they choose you. Why do they choose you? It's mysterious. It's mysterious why you are chosen for many things. Yeah, it's mysterious. When I think about maybe like being in college, or when I think about even working after college, or when I think about just life in general, many times you are chosen for things. Yeah, you are chosen for things many times in life. You know, our prophet, Bishop Dagger Mills, he always makes a comment that it's not the prettiest girl who is chosen to get married. Yeah, it's not the prettiest girl who gets chosen to get married. You see, people are looking at other things. Yeah, people are looking at other things that allow, and it's a mystery. It's a mystery to many of us. It's a mystery to many of the people who attend these weddings. It's a mystery. Yeah, and it's because people are looking for other things. There are other things working that make people to be chosen. Yeah, and it's not always clear. It's not. We are lucky that with Daniel, we know it was what? Matters concerning wisdom and understanding. Like, we are lucky to know. But I'm sure to those people, they had no idea why Daniel was being chosen. Yeah, they had no, all these magicians and enchanters had no idea why it was Daniel who was being chosen. Amen. The fourth thing your wisdom determines, we're going to move quickly. The four things that wisdom determines, right? Wisdom determines the great things and mighty works you can accomplish. Psalms 104 and verse 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made all the earth is full of your creatures. Amen, right? So wisdom determines the great things and mighty works you can accomplish. And then number five, wisdom determines your ability to become rich. Yeah. Wisdom determines your ability to become rich. How many of us want to become rich? Let me see a wave of hands. If you would like to become rich, I mean, actual riches. Yeah, I see everybody's hand is up. If you would like to actually become rich, you know, wisdom determines your ability to become rich. I see that Ty is not rich. There he goes. So yeah, wisdom determines the ability to become rich. Everyone wants to become rich. That's why many of us are doing the things we're doing. Maybe you're not in school and you're working. It's like you're trying to figure out, how can I use this money I'm making now to take me to another place, to take me to a higher place, right? And it is by your wisdom that takes you there. You know, right now, I would say during the pandemic, many people got into investing. See, a lot of people really started to get into serious investing. And, you know, one of those people is Ty Church right now. He's really into investing. And I'm in a group. And you see, Ty would just be sending messages, really giving what he's telling us in the group, in the messages is, oh, put your money here. Oh, put your money here. Like, it's like he's going to take some knowledge and he's applying his wisdom. Yeah, and he's believing in it wholeheartedly that this wisdom of this investing will actually make me rich. And he's sending messages regularly. Sometimes it's even difficult for me to follow along to where he's telling us to put our money, because it's like, I don't even know what he's really saying sometimes. Yeah, but he has believed in it wholeheartedly, and he is rather, and now that he's believed in it, he's teaching other people. Like, he's telling us, oh, do this. Oh, I think this is better than this. This is rather take, don't buy. Recently, I sent him two things, and I was asking him, oh, what's the difference between these two things? And he said, oh, take all of your money out of this. Like, I had made a big mistake. I had put some money, and he said, take everything out of this thing. It's a big mistake. Don't do that. Yeah, and it's because I don't have the wisdom he has. When it comes to that, I don't have the understanding or the wisdom he has about that. And you see, that's why it's important to listen and go out and seek the wisdom. Yeah, that's why it's important to listen and to go out and seek the wisdom. And seek the wisdom from people who have it. Don't be like King Rehoboam, who went to go and seek wisdom for people at his level. There's no reason to go and say that you want to go ask advice from someone just like you. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You see, King Rehoboam went to go ask advice from young men who had grown up with him. Why? Like, why would you go and ask advice from someone who is just like you? Rather, you should go and seek advice from people who are ahead of you. People who are ahead, people who passed you, is who you need to be seeking advice from. If I call myself, you know, a shepherd, and I'm building the church here in Delaware and Philly, I need to be seeking advice from people who are ahead of me, people who've passed me, people who've way passed me, right? That's who I need to be seeking advice from. I don't need to be seeking advice from somebody who also just began last year. It wouldn't make sense. Yeah, you see, it wouldn't make sense. It should rather be that I'm seeking advice from people who've been doing it for a while, people who've seen some success. What have they succeeded in? Those are the kind of people you should be seeking advice from. But yeah, wisdom determines your ability to become rich. Yeah, to become rich. And I also would like to add to this one, wisdom also determines your ability to maintain your riches. Yeah, to maintain the riches also comes from wisdom. 1 Kings 10, verse 23. 1 Kings 10 and verse 23. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the kings of the earth. Yeah, Solomon was the richest king on the earth. Verse 24. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Okay, verse 25. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift, articles of silver and gold, robes, weapons, and spices, and horses and mules. Verse 26. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. Verse 27, the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig in the trees and the foothills. Verse 28, Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt. So this is ascribing, I mean, the type of riches the guy had, right? Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and Kew. The royal merchants purchased them from Kew at the current price. And lastly, verse 29. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. They also exported them, yeah, into the Myrians. Yeah, powerful. So verse 23, if we go back to verse 23. Verse 23. King Solomon was greater in riches. How do you become greater in riches? It was by the next verse. God had put some wisdom in his heart. You see, God has put some wisdom in his heart. Wisdom is how you become rich. Now, how does people's wisdom apply to their riches? You see, one of the most simplest ways that people's wisdom apply, that people's knowledge and wisdom apply to their riches is some people have a wisdom that in order for me to have a lot of money, every month, I need to have less money going out. That's a simple level of wisdom. It's a very basic level. Like I need to have less money going out than I have coming in every month. And that'll equal that I have more money with me. But many people are rather in the negative. Every month, they have so many things going out. They have so many debts, so many things that they are accountable for that they cannot get out of. And I want to encourage us as young people, you know, before we really get started in life. Yeah, many of us, it's like we're just now beginning in life. Before we really get started in life, let's hold on to this wisdom. Let's hold on to the wisdom that the more money we can keep will show our true wisdom, will show our true riches, the more money you can have with you. It's not about how much you make, but it's about how much you can retain, how much you can actually keep with you, shows your wisdom. Some people have a wisdom that every, you know, I met a lady once. She told me that when she was in her 40s, but she told me that when she was in her 20s, she believed, and she was telling me that it was a regret, but she was saying that when she was in her 20s, she believed that she should be eating out every night. Like she would go the whole week and buy dinner from every night. It's like she's eating out every night. And then she told me, I remember we were sitting at a table and we were talking, and she told me, if I could add up the amount of money I spent at restaurants in my 20s, I'd be a millionaire by now. Because she gave me examples of where some days she could go to Starbucks in the morning, then lunch, you buy lunch, then dinner, you've eaten out three meals a day. Yeah. And you have to have an ability to have a wisdom that spending money every day isn't a good thing. It's not. Some of us should challenge ourselves and just take a day. You know, I remember I used to do this thing. I would pick a day and I'll say, you know what, today I'm going to leave my debit card at home. Like today, I refuse to bring my card out with me. I refuse. I will not spend a dollar outside today. Some of us, we need to do that type of challenge for ourselves, because it's like part of the problem is just knowing you have the money there. It's like, oh, I need this. I need to grab this. I need to grab. But it's actually a mental thing to control that thing and to have the self-control to know that it's not necessary for me to spend today. Yeah, look what the Bible says about it. Proverbs 8 and verse 18. Proverbs 8, verse 18, please. Riches and honor are with me. Yeah, durable. I like this verse because it uses the word durable riches and righteousness, but durable riches. Yeah, there's a difference between durable riches and riches that are not durable. Riches that can stand different seasons of life. Riches that can stand when you are in a good time and when you are in a bad time. Yeah, you see, if you remember, the verse we read in Genesis to begin today's message about Joseph and Pharaoh and how Joseph was made the king over Egypt, it was because Pharaoh was having some dreams. Yeah, for those of you who know this story, but Pharaoh was having some dreams about seven fat cows and seven lean cows, you see? And he was having a dream about the two type of cows, and the fat cows were eating the lean cows. And he didn't understand what the dream meant. And Joseph was able to interpret it that, listen, Pharaoh, so the way it's looking right now, Egypt is going to have seven prosperous years. And then after the seven prosperous years, it'll be followed by seven lean years. Like seven prosperous years and seven lean years. So he gave Pharaoh the wisdom that during these seven prosperous years, take 20% of all the food crop, all the crop, right? And store it up so that when the seven lean years come, we will be like, we'll be okay. We'll have the food with us. We won't have it be a waste. And this story to me, I remember the first time I read this story and I really understood it. It was last year during the pandemic. And I remember I understood it and I was like, wow, this story is actually creating a picture and an image of how people can be successful. Yeah, see, last year when the pandemic started, many people were suffering, many people were scrambling. And it was a season of lean cows, if you will. Yeah, it was a season of lean cows. But because during their time of prosperity, during the time they had regular income coming in, they had money, they had savings, during those times, they were spending out of control. They had no wisdom to see that there's a time coming. There's an evil day coming. There's a time when I may lose my job. There's a time when a disease will just show up and all of a sudden it's like, I have no work, you see? And I pray that, you know, many of us, as you've experienced this past year, we have not gained that wisdom that you should always be saving. You should always be putting something to the side, always. Always, you'd always be preparing for some type of day to come. Some evil day will come. As for evil days, they will surely come. But, or as for bad days, they will surely happen. As for unexpected things, they will happen. None of us expected COVID-19. None of us expected that we'll just be there and then the following Monday we'll get a message or we'll get a phone call or we'll get a text. Listen, today, don't come to work. I mean, like today, just stay home. Don't come to work. We're not sure what's going to happen right now. We're just trying to work some things out. So I think today you should stay home. And then within a week, you've lost your job. Many of us were not expecting that. And many people who were living a certain way before then, they were strapped. When those phone calls came, when those messages came, when those emails came, they were strapped. Because during their time of prosperity, they were not living with a certain consciousness. They were spending just anyhow. So you see, they didn't have what the Bible is calling here durable riches. They didn't have riches that could stand against different seasons of life. And I pray that we will have riches that will stand. Yeah, you have to say amen when I say that. But I pray that, you know, we will have riches that will stand against different seasons of life, different challenges, different difficulties. I pray that we'll have riches that can overcome those seasons. Amen. So you see, as we've talked about wisdom, what wisdom determines. You see, you may be asking yourself, how can I improve my wisdom? And if you've noticed, every week when we talk about a determinant, I always finish with how you can practically improve it. Yeah, how you can actually improve it. So very quickly, how to improve your wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The first thing to improve, the first way, first step, going to improve your wisdom is what? Ask of God. Ask God for wisdom that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth, not, and it shall not be given him. Yeah, amen. So you see, wisdom, if you want to improve your wisdom, the very first thing to do is ask of God. That's before I get into any of the points. There's four ways to improve your wisdom. But before I even talk about them, the first thing you have to do is ask God. Ask God to help you. And the Bible says that God will give it. He says he gives it to all men liberally. Liberally means he doesn't play favorites. He doesn't choose sides. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to give more wisdom to Elizabeth than to Jody, or I'm going to give more wisdom to Annette than to Patricia. No, everybody, he says that as long as you ask, he will give it to you liberally. Amen. So if you want to improve your wisdom, the first way to improve your wisdom is noticing and recognizing things is the first step. Yeah, noticing and recognizing things. That's why a few weeks ago we talked about how to recognize a door. Noticing and recognizing things is your first step. 1 John 1:1, as we move quickly. 1 John 1:1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. Yeah, like the things they have seen with their eyes, they have noticed, they have recognized it, they have believed it. Many of us, we are one of our weaknesses is noticing and recognizing things. And we have a challenge noticing and recognizing a blessing, or noticing and recognizing an opportunity, or noticing and recognizing, oh, you know, if I make this decision, it's going to take me here. Yeah. And you must be able to notice and recognize things if you want to improve your wisdom. Next, listening and hearing. Yeah, listening and hearing. Listening to messages again and again, listening to preaching, listening to people. And see, there's a difference between listening and hearing. There's a difference between, like, right now you are listening to me, but there are very few of us right now who can actually hear me. Like, what I'm saying, is it actually going in your heart? Are you actually believing what I'm saying? Or are you just hearing me because you are on a Zoom call for the next 10 minutes with me? There's a difference. But listening and hearing is how you can practically improve your wisdom. Luke chapter 2, verse 44, please. Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. This is talking about Jesus. And it says that then he was in their company. They traveled on for a day. Then they had began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Next verse. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them. Like, they found him amongst the teachers, listening to them. When you find yourself around a teacher and you have to be found listening. See, Jesus was wise because he found himself around teachers and he was listening to them. Amen. Pray that you will become somebody who has an ear to listen. Now, when you are around somebody with a certain level of wisdom, or somebody, see, Jesus at this point was a little boy. Yeah, the people who were looking for him were his parents. He was only about 12 years old. But the Bible says that at 12, he was found listening to people. He hadn't began his ministry, hadn't began anything, but they found him listening. As a young boy, they found him listening to teachers. Yeah, you must be able to be found listening to people. Amen. Copying. The next way to improve your wisdom is by copying. Yeah, I'll tell you, everything we do in church, everything you see that we do in church, from having Greater Love Gospel Choir, Flow Flashback, even the way we do our countdown at the beginning of service. Many of you don't see the countdown, but even the way we do our countdown is all copied from another branch. Yeah, even everything we do, even having shepherds meeting, I copy it. Sometimes I'll go and ask another pastor or another chief elder, oh, how do you run your shepherds meeting? To see what I can copy and take. Yeah. And your ability to copy what has been successful will determine your wisdom. It will show your wisdom, your ability to copy what has been successful. And then lastly, asking questions. Yeah, asking questions that will help improve your wisdom. Whenever you go somewhere, whenever you come to maybe a Bible study, you see, I always say, if you come to our center meeting, you should always be talking and asking questions, because it's a time to talk. It's a time to seek wisdom. Right? It's a time to improve wisdom on any subject. You see, it's a time to improve wisdom. It's a time to seek wisdom. A couple Wednesdays ago, maybe one or two Wednesdays ago, Annette came, was at our Bible study with us. And I don't even remember the topic that night. I think it was about the anointing and his presence. Yeah. But Annette, at the end, Annette asked a question about tithing and about paying tithes. It had nothing to do with the subject, but it shows her wisdom. Someone is trying to gain an understanding on a subject that we haven't talked about the whole night, but it's what is on her mind and it's how she's trying to improve her wisdom. And asking questions shows that you are trying to improve your wisdom. Jesus said in here in Luke chapter 2, verse 45, it says that he was found amongst the teachers listening to them and asking them questions. Yeah, he was found amongst the teachers asking questions. Yeah, I pray you'll be found asking questions. Amen. So lastly, I have a treat, a bonus, something for you, right? So what keeps us from improving our wisdom? One thing, I'm going to give us one thing this week to pray about that will help you to stop, you know, staying at the same wisdom level. I hope you're ready for it. But what keeps us from improving our wisdom, right? What is actually keeping most of us or all of us from improving our wisdom is actually the voice of our flesh. Yeah, the voice of our flesh keeps us from improving our wisdom. Yeah, yeah. So victory keys over the voice of your flesh. I'm just going to give us one. The voice of the flesh typically says to do what feels nice and easy. Yeah, so victory keys over the voice of your flesh is don't do what it feels nice and easy. Do what rather feels hard and challenging. Yeah, that's just a small bonus, a small treat. If you want more of the study of the voice of the flesh, or if you want to actually, you know, be able to practically overcome the voice of the flesh, I would recommend to you a book called The Art of Hearing by Bishop Dagher Mills. It's a great book, and I would really recommend it to you. I actually have a copy of it here with me. So if you can, I'm not sure if you can see it well. But yeah, I would recommend this book, The Art of Hearing by Bishop Dagher Mills. And if anybody wants a copy, you know, just reach out and ask me. I can get you a copy. But it's a great book, you see, and it speaks about many things that tie to the determinants. Yeah, many of the reasons that why we are not able to effectively overcome these determinants is because of the different voices in our lives. And that book goes through about 12 of the voices, and it's a blessing. Amen. So at this time, I wanted to just pray for a few moments. Pray for yourself, right? Pray for your wisdom level. Pray that as Joseph had the Spirit of God on him, you will also have the Spirit of God. Pray that you will not just stay at the same level next week, a month, 2 months from now. Pray that you will be increased, that your wisdom level will be increased. Just take a few moments and pray for yourself. Father, I pray, Lord, I pray and ask, oh God, that you will help us to have an increased wisdom level, God. Help us with our wisdom level. Help us not to stay at the same place, God. I pray for each and every single person who's come today, God. Help us with the Spirit of God. Help us to have a discerning and wise heart, a discerning and wise mind. May we be like Joseph, Lord, who was chosen because of his discernment and wisdom, God. Help us, oh God, to be increased in wisdom gradually, God, as we are listening, as we are copying, as we are asking questions, God, as we are noticing and recognizing, Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to be able to overcome our wisdom, God. God, I give you thanks, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So I believe we're blessed. I think at this time, we can actually welcome our Madam X to the stage. So if you are there, make some noise, come off of mute, shout, say something, and welcome Woo. Patricia, our Madam X. Woo.
Amen.
All right.
As for bowing,
we will bow.
As for bowing, y'all are low today. As for bowing.
We will bow.
Yeah. About too late.
It's about
amen.
Amen. Amen. So if there's a wonderful service, and first things first, everyone, please join us for impartation service with Bishop Henry this Tuesday at 8 p.m. I want to see you all there, and I'm excited to see you all there. And on Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have our First Love Philly Center meeting this week. So stay tuned for any further announcements if we still have it, in case anything happens. And also, please subscribe to our very own Prophet Bishop Dagher Mills by searching Dagher Mills in the search box, as well as our own message on First Love Delaware on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, by searching First Love Delaware in the search bar as well. And we have a new ministry alert. We are starting a new ministry called Flow Flashback Stars, just like Annette did. If you guys want to join that ministry, just contact Elder Dylan if you guys want to join. And also, First Love North America is having their second annual talent show happening live in June 25th. I want to see some excitement Ooh. For that. I hope you guys Ooh. Are excited. So please reach out to Elder Dylan if you want to participate. And we also have a video to hype up that too.
Hey, First Lovers!
we can't keep still as this new season of America's Got Talent draws close. This season, we are expecting a ridiculous amount of talents and ministrations like never before. So don't hold back. Watch out for the link on our various platforms or ask your GSOs about how to send us your auditions now, performing your best acts to be entered into this year's amazing season. We will be featuring some hot new competition between our regional choirs, the spoken word stars, and our very own prophet impersonators. You cannot miss this. See you there on June 25th.
Amen, amen. So like I said, that's going to be on June 25th. So contact Elder Dylan if you guys want to participate. And now let's share the grace and have the grace dance afterwards.
Yeah, so I just want to also encourage just the America's Got Talent. You know, it's happening live June 25th on Facebook. So we are having